Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 29, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29 so you can follow along and enjoy the study today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Genesis chapter 29, beginning to read with verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth, and thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, Surely thou art my bone of my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for a handmaiden. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, I must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaiden, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And we'll end with the reading there at the 30th verse, and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. It's wonderful, Father, the opportunities that you have given us. Now please guide and lead us that we'll enjoy this study together and speak to our hearts that we may know your will and your way for our lives. It's so important, Lord, that we come together and enjoy this study, and it's that we find and know your wisdom and your will for our lives. And then it's so important, Lord, that we follow that will in that way. So please, Lord, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that we know that we've ended up at Bethel last time we were together, and we've placed the little monument, this little marking of the place where Jacob realized that God was literally with him. But you know, I know that he is in this place. And remember, we even talked about the 16th verse there of chapter 28. Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And then he said, and he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This is a wonderful testimony that Jacob is giving concerning his meeting and his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look there very quickly and carefully and prayerfully, any time that we first come and recognize who God is, it to say that it is a dreadful place is kind of a maybe strange words that you would think. And yet when we recognize our own sin and we recognize the need of a Savior that we have, and when the Holy Spirit begins, and that this is how it comes about. We read His Word, or someone reads His Word to us, and that gives an opportunity for the Spirit of God to come and deal with our hearts. And to deal with our hearts, first of all, has to show us that we're a sinner and we're lost. Well, that comes. And at that point, you need to realize and recognize, do we want to respond to the call that God has given us and come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him? Or do we want to ignore the call and kind of think to ourselves that, oh, we're pretty good. I don't think I need to do that. My church doesn't teach that. Well, the Word of God teaches it. I don't care whether your church does or not. I do care that you follow the truth. And the truth is that you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. And it must be a personal relationship. And then you need to seek out a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church that comes and preaches the Word of God, that they are desiring that souls be saved, and they're desiring that folks will hear the truth, and the truth will really and truly set them free. So please that you look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as Jacob, as he was fleeing, he was running, and all of a sudden here he really met up with the true God. And I hope that you do the same, and it will come if you'll listen today and follow after what God's Word has to say. So, and to be a dreadful place any time that we as sinners come into a surroundings of a holy God, it should be a dreadful place. It should be a place that almost brings fear and trembling to us. And we, thankful enough, we can honor and praise and serve God with love because we love Him. And we don't have to be afraid that He is going to whip us or beat us down if we do something wrong. At the same time, when we really truly understand who He is, we have to stand in awe. And I hope that you have experienced that, and I hope that you're to that place. Well, we have left this monument, and now we get Jacob on about his journey. And Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well, they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. You know, as he went upon his journey, you can, the original is really, he lifted up his feet. In other words, he got to moving, didn't he? He got about his business and went on to what he was, the location, the place he was to go to. He landed in the very land where his uncle watered his flocks. Isn't that something? How that that happened, that took place, that all of a sudden, out of this journey, out of this traveling, no map, nothing other than God's guidance. And I'm not sure that, you know, he didn't have the star to follow. He didn't have a map to follow. What he had was an opportunity to follow a God that has strength, has power, has wisdom. And our God will give us that direction and that strength. And so it's so important that we follow after him. And we find Jacob here in the earlier chapter surrendering to him and acknowledging him. And it seems as though that from now on that his journey was very smooth, wasn't it, getting to his uncle's place. And it was, we find that there is none other than Rachel is going to be on the scene here before very long. We can surely say that God has directed this man, Jacob, and he has brought him to just exactly the location. And it was much like a story and a part of God's Word that we have studied earlier. And when I use that word story, sometimes that brings on the thought that it's not true. You know, it's just a story. Well, when I make that reference here, that doesn't take away from its truth, because it is true. And we can go back to Abraham's servant, Eliezer, when he came into the same land to get Isaac, get a bride for him. And so if you remember that he came over and he had much the same kind of voyage, the same kind of trip. It seems as though that he just arrived, and there was Rebecca. And so it seems that this is almost an identical story, and how that God had guided Jacob over to this land as he had guided Eliezer, Abraham's servant, as he come to get Isaac a bride. Now, in Isaac's case, why, it was said that he was not to leave, and the servant was to go get the bride, and that's exactly what took place. Here we have Jacob leaving the land, and the promised land over in the land of Canaan, and heading towards the back, what was the original home of Abraham. And so as he travels, again, his trip was quick, his travel was pleasant, and you know, any time that we walk in God's will, and we trust in his wisdom, and we look to his knowledge, we'll find that our trip and our voyage will be pleasant. I mean, maybe there's going to be all kinds of turmoil on the outside, and a lot of things going on, but you will find that each day, I love every day. I love each day. And there's, I work many hours, and there's a lot of things that I am responsible for and I need to do, but there isn't one day that I don't enjoy. Some people, they live for vacation. They live for retirement, and their whole life is focused upon that. Oh, my friend, you're missing it. You are missing it. You need, first of all, relationship in Jesus Christ. You need to know him as your Savior personally. And when that begins, then your eyes and your life, if you turn unto him, you will begin, no matter what job that you have, you will begin to have joy and you'll begin to walk each day and feel His presence and know that there is a purpose for you in that place. And just knowing that should excite you, because there's something there that you're to be doing. And so you need to ask the Lord, Lord, you know, am I to speak to someone? Is it just to be my actions that they see the difference? Why am I here, Lord? And it's a very difficult job. It's a hard job, maybe. But you'll understand that if you surrender to the will of God, it will be a pleasant time, a pleasant travel, and the days just seem like they fly by. And I hope that you understand that, and I hope that you see what has happened to Jacob here when he is going, because almost immediately, as we've just read, he gets to this well and he finds these three flocks of sheep lying by. And then we get a little further and find out that there's a stone that's rolled over the mouth of this well, and they have to wait till all the sheep are there, and then they open remove the rock so that they can draw water and get the water for all the sheep to water them, and then they immediately close and put this rock back on top of the well again. And so here Jacob arrives at the very well where Laban brings his sheep, and he uses Rachel to do it. She's the one that is taking care of the sheep. Isn't it something? Isn't it something how that all of a sudden this works out of all the places in the land that this could be, and yet that's the very place where Jacob arrives. And he didn't know where he was, because if you'll notice, he asked. He said, "Do you know my uncle Laban? Do you know him?" And yes, we do. Is he well? Yes, he is. And matter of fact, Rachel, his daughter, she brings her sheep here. Matter of fact, here she comes. Isn't that something? Our trip is made fast, quick. Our steps are made smooth, even though there can seem to be a lot of trials and tribulations in our lives, and yet we'll find it to be a smooth path and a quick path and an easy path if we'll just but trust in the Lord no matter what is going on around us. And so please that we do that. Now, we need to look just a little bit here at a couple of the things that the conversation Jacob has. You know, he inquires, first of all, about the well, and then Jacob said to them, "My brethren, whence be ye?" And they said, "Of Haran." And so you see, Jacob, upon arriving, he's a total stranger here. He doesn't know anybody, and yet he comes and he inquires about, you know, "Where are you from?" And just being kind in his conversation, they said, "We're from Haran." And he said, "Well, you know Laban, because see, he's from Haran." And so, sure, we know him. And then he asks again. He says, "You know, is Laban well? Is he doing well?" "Yes, he is. He is well, whether it be physical or financially. We're not sure what the question, but yes, he's well." And so, Jacob is just carrying on a good conversation with these people, even though they're total strangers. And then he finds out very quickly, and he said to them, "Is he well?" And they says that he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he says, "Lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them." And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together." You know, Jacob here, even very kind, he was a shepherd here. He couldn't understand how come that they weren't just opening the thing up, go ahead, water the sheep, and go on. No, we can't do it that way. And so it was said that you have to wait till all come. And so that was the eighth verse. And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, and then we water the sheep." And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, it seems that things kind of come quickly. That, you know, it's why is there a covering upon this well? Is it because it is just a certain folks, just certain a group that can use the well? Is that the reason that that it has the stone across it? Is the stone there for protection? You know, if it hadn't a covering upon it, why one of the sheep could fall in if they would be unattended. Someone could poison, put something in the water that would poison the water if it was easily accessible. It was even thought that the weather, the sun and the weather may deteriorate the well in some manner or another, and so for it to be covered is better. And so, you know, our great shepherd, he opens up unto us the living water. And it is so important that we understand the need. They understood the need for this good water. They protected the water, and whenever all were gathered up to whether all could supervise and watch, we're not real sure, but they waited till all were there, and then they opened and they received the water. And you know, it's so important that we understand that without the shepherd's help, without our great shepherd, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot receive living water. It has to be through him. And so here, while we have the shepherds gathering together, and then they open it up. Now, look what happened here when we find Rachel arriving. You know, it was noted that the name Rachel signifies a sheep. And so we would kind of say, as we read these verses of Scripture here, that it seems as though that Jacob is kind of smitten by Rachel, isn't he? And so as soon as they make this connection here, while he yet spake with Rachel, Rachel came with her fathers, and while he yet spake with them, being the other shepherds, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Immediately we find that Rebekah runs to tell her father what she had just experienced. She didn't want a minute to go by without someone knowing. Did they hear what had happened a little bit with Jacob? Did they know anything about the family of Jacob with Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob? We're not real sure. We do know that it was immediately understood and believed that he was kin. And we see the tears of joy, the kisses of love that immediately come forth. Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. I believe that Jacob was so happy, and I believe that he knew immediately upon seeing Rachel that he had found his bride. And what a wonderful blessing it was to him that know that God had sent him and given him such a blessed trip as he arrives now in this, not even into the land, not even to Laban's house yet. And yet he had already had the opportunity to help. And we have the situation with, again, the well and the stone that was before the well. You know, it's wonderful as we read through this story and we watch Jacob as he comes and he finds his bride. And it's just a beautiful, sweet story. And let's look now as we continue, and I'm going to read verse 11, then we'll go on to the rest of the verses in this. Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. You know, it's a situation much like what happened with Eliezer when he arrived, isn't it? It's just almost a duplicate story. I love both of them as you study them together. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. And so he stayed away for 30 days. How long do you think that Jacob thought that he was going to be away from home? I don't think he ever thought that he was going to be away from home that long. But as he come to this land, and he met Laban, and he met Rachel, and he stayed there for this space of 1 month. Well, after being there a month, we find that Jacob was not lazy. Jacob did not just sit around and let everybody take care of him. It seems as though that he was working. He was laboring. He was helping, I'm sure, Rachel with Laban's sheep. And so as he started at the very beginning there, he brought the opportunity of to water the sheep. And again, for us, as the shepherd, and Jacob is a shepherd, it wasn't his sheep, but Jacob's a shepherd. And as we have an opportunity that the shepherd will open up, move the stone so that we can get to the water, so we can enjoy this living water that we have in Jesus Christ, we have a beautiful picture. Well, we have that same thing here with Jacob and with Rebekah and caring for the sheep that she had. And so we go through the rest of the list here. Why, we find that Laban said to Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" He had worked for a month and didn't receive any money or any wages, but I'm sure that he had food to eat, a place to sleep, and everything. And again, I think it's a wonderful lesson for us that he didn't go over there to relax and to take advantage of anyone. He went over there, and there was something to do. He did it. Well, Laban said, "You know, I'm not going to take advantage of you. What do you want to get paid? You know, you've been here a month now, and you've worked. What do you want to get paid?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, Jacob, remember what we just read. Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." You know, usually there was some kind of a dowry, something that was put up that Jacob could offer for Rachel. But you see, he didn't have anything. He didn't bring anything with him. A little bit different than Eliezer. Remember, Eliezer had brought all these wonderful gifts to give to Rebekah. But now we have that Jacob has really nothing to give for Rachel. And he says, "I will give you 7 years." And you know, the number seven is complete and perfection. And so, "I will give you 7 years." And Jacob loved Rachel. "I will serve 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." So they'd made the deal, didn't they? They had made the deal. And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful story. You talk about a love story. You don't have to buy some book. You don't have to see something on television. We've got a beautiful love story here. A man gave 7 years of his life that he can get his bride. And it went by so fast because his love was so great for Rachel. Now, that is such a beautiful, beautiful story between a man and a woman. He wanted Rachel, and he was willing to give anything for her, everything for her. And I am sure that he labored hard and long those 7 years, but it seemed like just nothing. And you know, when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, no matter what kind of trial or tribulation, or how blessed we are financially or physically, you know, whether we have good health or we don't, or whether we have a lot of money or we don't. If we set out to serve our living God because we know Jesus Christ and we know He saved us and we have such a great love for Him, that we would be willing and quickly to do anything for Him. And we find that the time goes back by so quickly. So quickly it flies by. And it's not going to be long that we're going to be together with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we've talked about salvation. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please, my dear friend, trust in Him today. What are you going to do about Jesus?